Blog Talk Radio.
BlackAthlete.com. Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between, we focus on all the major players and stories, daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Welcome to the Gray Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Welcome to the GOC. That was David Bowie. Let's dance. We're going to dance all weekend with the NCAA. Going to New Orleans this week. Going to New Orleans. Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Lights. Sorry, it's only going to be a threat last night. As a missile attack was near the track last night, the race will go on as scheduled. The Saudi Grand Prix Formula One race will go on. They're dancing in the streets of Jersey, New Jersey, at the Peacock on the Peacock Day. They win. Great, great game. Thursday night. Women take the stage on Friday night as Lady Longhorns defeat the Ohio State Buckeyes. 66-63. Lady Blue Jays beat Ohio State. Iowa State 39-72-68. Dawn's Daily moves number one, the North Carolina Gamecocks, beating cross-state rival North Carolina 69-61. And the defending champion, Tampa Cardinal, beat the Maryland Terrapins 72-66. And Tampa moves on with defense, and they play Texas tomorrow, and Texas is one of the only teams as being the Cardinal. They have size. It's going to be an interesting game tomorrow. ESPN, Stanford and Texas, the ladies version. This morning, the Wolfpack of North Carolina State beat Notre Dame. 63. In a tight shooting contest, with the Wolfpack win at the foul line, they move on to the Sweet 16. NCAA, they paid the right color, baby blue. Was that night? The baby blue of North Carolina defeated UCLA. The last Pac-12 team standing. Now they will go on and play New Jersey's Jay Beers tomorrow at 2:30 Mississippi time. In the battle of the weather schools, it's Miami Hurricane, meaning the Iowa State Cyclones. So I guess the hurricane is talking to the cyclone. 70-56 and the cyclones could not control the front line of Miami. But Miami moves on. In the NHL, the Colorado Avalanche keep mowing people over, and they, the only thing that can stop them is themselves. And they beat the Philadelphia Flyers 6-2. The Avs are on fire and are taking the West slowly but surely. And there you have the Friday Night Lights. Friday Night Lights for last night. You see if we get the score for the day. And the ladies have a full schedule. tonight. Tennessee is playing Louisville at 1 o'clock. South Dakota, the Coyotes are playing the Wolverines at 3:30 Pacific time. As earlier, the Wolfpack beat the Black Irish 66-63. Final, the UConn Lady Huskies beat Indiana Hoosiers 75-58. So we got, that's the four games for the ladies today. For the men, we have today the Houston Cougars against the Minnesota Wildcats. The Arkansas Razorbacks and the New Blue Devils. And that will be in San Francisco at 5:49 Pacific time at San Francisco Chase Center. Razorbacks and Blue Devils. It looks like the North Carolina and North Carolina Ontario and Duke level finals. It's still alive and well. Still alive and well. We will see what happens on the political side when a Supreme Court justice. The Supreme Court justice's wife tries to undermine our democracy. We have a problem. Clarence Thomas' wife sent letters to the administration to overturn the election. Clarence Thomas needs to recluse himself from any of the decisions of January 6th. He needs to recluse himself because his wife is an influence on his decision. Stop it. Just stop it. Time to stop playing games. Clarence Thomas knows better. We got 804 houses.
Beijing! What's up, G? I'm looking out there at 804
in the house.
I'm like, what?
I recognize. I'm doing my nose.
Hey, man, I'm like, come on, G, 804, you should know who it is, bruh. Don't do me that way, man. Hey, just call me no Brown. Don't nobody know what's going on? Don't nobody know that? 804? Don't nobody know that? Nah, but Gary, you made a great point. And before we go over to St. Peter, we need to really look at this from an intellectual, honest point of view. You got the highest level of government and the judicial branch being compromised, then obviously we got major problems. And it's
we got a serious problem because this guy is
the guy
making
decisions
for the whole country. Come on.
He's a traitor. You hear what he said about Putin? Putin being a great strategist and a genius.
That's aided the enemy.
They threw the book at him. But Trump is walking around scot-free. He even had classified information that he took with him when he left office. Now, what the ham sandwich going on?
A young woman in Russia is in jail.
In all due respect, Gary, she's been overseas playing basketball. She should know the rules, especially with drug paraphernalia, and that's her own stupidity. I don't have no sympathy for her. I mean, But Gary, again, these women go overseas to supplement their income. It's like anything else. You go overseas to an Arab nation, women have to cover their faces. Even they're not debonair.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a college graduate, and I know that she claims to be a woman as far as playing basketball, but if you, like I showed you on another show, she was dressed up in a male tuxedo when she got married to her now ex-wife. Now, again, whatever you want to choose for your own personal, that's on you. You know, I'm not here to do that, but she's been not only used to traveling overseas, to be in that, put yourself in that situation. I'm sorry, but I don't have no sympathy for you. You know? And if you know how Russia is with homosexuality, how they look down on that, you should be extra cautious. And being a black woman, too? Come on.
I know. They all agree on three
things. Uh-huh.
Lesbian, black, female. They don't like any women.
Hey, but Gary,
I'm in your hometown.
You got three, all three, one guy. Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm. But yeah, your own hometown in Jersey, St. Peter. What the hell is going on? They straight up gangsters. You hear the coach in his interview after the game? What y'all got to say now? What y'all got to say now? And here's the point. What do you mean by that? She took up this. She was like, this angry black man. Oh, my God. What do I say? This Barbie doll was like, oh, my God. Somebody in my ear, please tell me. What do I do? Oh, my God. I have an angry black man in front of me. What do I do? Oh, my God.
Now we got two black guys against each other, right? Against St. Peter.
Hey, I hate to say it, but Carolina's starting to look good. After that bullet they dodged against Baylor, all of a sudden, I don't know if they was in the gym 20 hours and 24 hours, but they look a hell of a lot different than what they did the previous year.
Yes.
Mississippi. You hear the breaking news on Memphis State basketball?
So what happened?
They have been put on probation. They've been investigated for 8 violations. And the coach Finney is being cited for 2 violations. Now, isn't it interesting, right after they get bounced out of the tournament about weeks ago, this comes down the pipe.
Yeah.
Now, call me boo-boo the fool, but ever since Penny has been at Memphis, what program has kind of suffered? Can I say Kentucky for 2000? There he goes. He has not recruited Tyler Perry, and Tyler Perry has suffered ever since Penny has been his Memphis job.
Reggie, Did you have
Kentucky
yesterday? Four
guys
are leaving Kentucky as of tomorrow.
Now, you never hardly ever see that before. Four guys leaving. You know what Calipari told them? Y'all gotta get out of here, because I gotta take
what
you
to
my next. You know what Calipari told them? Guys, I got to make room for my next class. Y'all got to get up out of here. He said, you can stay. He said, you can stay, but you can't stay here. I guarantee you. He already told him. He said, y'all got to go, because I got to make room for my new class coming in.
You got to say about that.
You got to make room for the new freshman coming in.
They can't.
I ain't got to say, but y'all got to get out of here.
Reggie, they can't keep doing that over and over again. They can't keep doing that, man.
I know it's starting to catch up with them. Why you say? My suggestion is even Duke. He can't deal with the one and done no more. He can't recruit people like he used to. That's why he's getting out of
here.
You know it.
Yeah. Where are you going to?
Well, see, allegedly Duke has ran a clean program for all these years. And we know damn well that you better be telling them that bridge to somebody else. Because the Zion situation with his friends, how he came out, they were staying in a condo, you know. And then the UVA, Ralph Sampson, used to drive a white van around campus. Now, that's a violation right there. Transportation. You don't believe me, Mike Wade of Maryland gave a kid a ride from one end to the next. And he got hit with a cycle.
Yeah. But I think my school, where the coach gave him his car. Three years probation.
Look, back in the day, in the 70s, I had a friend of mine that went to school in the SEC. This quarterback, black quarterback now, beat this one school. Next week, he had a Corvette. He was driving a Corvette around campus. And this was in the 70s.
Oh, but my school gave a 1973 Raggedy.
Uh-huh.
It's the age that those kids do that.
They do. But that's why they get the kids in. But these young folks ain't stupid no more. They ain't letting people get over on them. That's why the NCAA, they're shaking in their boots then. I mean, how are you a freshman and you got an $8 million endorsement and you ain't played one down of basketball yet?
These schools
don't teach
these kids how to manage their money.
No. All that they're teaching them is just get on that field and pick that cotton and put us in the seat so we can make money. What is $8 million worth of endorsement when I'm making over every game within about over 200 million after the season.
Judiciary Committee just wrapped its third day of public Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. After 10 hours of on-camera testimony, the proceedings now move behind closed doors. Throughout the day, Democrats and some Republicans asked substantive questions on key decisions that likely will come before the court, questions of methodology and approach, while other Republican senators chose to once again air their conspiracy theories and grievances about past confirmation hearings.
The meetings they had with Judge Kavanaugh, it was literally ambushed. He was ambushed. How would you feel if we did that to you?
Senator, I've appreciated the kindness that each of you has shown me.
What do you say to some of them who may doubt that they can one day achieve the same great heights that you have?
I hope to inspire people to try to follow. This path because I love this country, because I love the law.
Why isn't it rational to sentence people who have thousands of images on a computer to more time as opposed to somebody who has one or two pictures in the mail? In other words, the more images there are, why wouldn't you want to sentence that person to more time rather than less? Why isn't that rational?
Senator, I've answered this question, and I'll stand on what I already answered.
Your nomination turned out to be a testing ground for conspiracy theories and culture war theories. The more bizarre the charges against you and your family, the more I understand the social media scoreboard lit up yesterday. I'm sorry that we have to go through this. These are not theories that are in the mainstream of America, but they have been presented here as such.
But after enduring 2 days of attacks from Republicans, Senator Cory Booker drove it all home with this supportive message.
It's not going to stop. They're going to accuse you of this and that. Heck, in honor of your person who shares your birthday, you might be called a communist. But don't worry, my sister. Don't worry. God has got you. And how do I know that? Because you're here. And I know what it's taken for you to sit in that seat.
Okay, here's the thing. Supreme Court confirmations are just their knockout, drag-out battles. That is the nature of the job. You are vying to be one of just nine justices with a lifetime appointment. people who essentially have unlimited veto power over the American political system. No one should expect anything less than a contentious process. It's a very, very difficult and serious job. We live in a democracy. This is how it goes. But even by those standards, the hearings for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, the first black woman ever nominated to the Supreme Court in over 200 years of this country's history, has been stomach-churning. We knew going in that her race and gender would be an issue for some Republicans, but I have to say I have been taken aback by the facially racist nature of much of the questioning Judge Jackson faced. And I say racist because there's no other way to accurately describe it, whether people want to call it racially tinged or whatever. Yesterday, Jackson repeatedly faced a line of questioning that assumed she was soft on crime or sympathetic to criminals or maybe even likes crime. And the only reason I could determine is that it plays into the assumption that a black person is inherently associated with criminality in some way, which is, of course, racist, one of the oldest, most pernicious and dangerous racist tropes in America. She was also asked multiple times to disown or disavow the views of other black public intellectuals, just other people that also happen to be black who have ideas about the country, specifically the 1619 Project and critical race theory.
You serve on the board of a school that teaches kindergartners, five-year-old children, that they can choose their gender and teaches them about so-called white privilege. You have made clear that you believe judges must consider critical race theory when deciding how to sentence criminal defendants. Is it your personal hidden agenda to incorporate critical race theory into our legal system?
One portion of the book says babies are taught to be racist or anti-racist. There is no neutrality. Another portion of the book, they recommend the babies confess when being racist. Do you agree with this book that is being taught with kids that, babies are racist?
Does United States need more or fewer police? Do you know how long the average inmate convicted for a murder serves in prison in America? Let's turn to rape. Do you know how long the average inmate convicted of rape serves in prison? In 2020, murders increased by the fastest rate ever in the United States. Do you know what percentage of murders are solved in America? Do you know how many, what percentage of sexual assaults and rapes go unsolved in this country? Do you think we imprison too many violent criminals or not enough?
Now, Republicans will tell you in their very best gaslighting voice that what you just heard from, say, Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas are just questions about criminal justice asked of a former public defender, trial judge, member of the Sentencing Commission. And to that I would just say it is a tremendous coincidence that the last time a Democrat nominated a black judge to the Supreme Court, they faced the same line of questioning. It was a long time ago, back in the summer of 1967, when President Lyndon Johnson nominated the legendary civil rights litigator Thurgood Marshall to be the first black justice on the Supreme Court. Two Southern Democrats, Judiciary Committee Chair James Eastland of Mississippi, a legendary and notorious figure, and John McClellan of Arkansas, teamed up to derail Marshall's nomination with exactly the same kind of racist questioning that presupposes that a black judge is soft on crime. The idea was that Senator McClellan, a former prosecutor, would be able to trip up Judge Marshall with his line of questioning. McClellan first asked Marshall, quote, "I would ask you if you do not agree with me that the mounting incidence of crime in this nation has reached a critical stage." Doesn't that sound familiar? To which Marshall replied, "I agree with you absolutely." And not satisfied, McClellan kept going, quote, "Do you regard crime as having reached proportions where it endangers or jeopardizes the internal security of our country?" Marshall responded in part, quote, "I am as worried as anybody about the mounting rate of crime, but I do not think it has yet reached the point where it cannot be dealt with and dealt with affirmatively." McClellan, undeterred, went on to ask, quote, "Is my understanding correct that as of now you do not think that the crime rate in this country has reached proportions where it endangers and jeopardizes our internal security?" And after some back and forth, Marshall responded, quote, "I have got faith in my government. I know my government will not let it happen." To which McClellan, a Southern segregationist staring down the first black nominee for the Supreme Court, responded, quote, "Well, I've seen a lot of things happen that I did not think would ever happen to." Whoop-hoo, boy. Wonder what he was talking about. All ultimately, the plan by those two vile Southern racists failed. Justice Thurgood Marshall was confirmed and spent more than two decades on the court. Just as it seems, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson will ultimately be confirmed, and as the first black woman on the court, is with her name which will endure. Tom Cotton and Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, they too have put themselves on the record for history, but only as embarrassing footnotes in the historic ascendance of a truly, what appears to be, by every possible metric, gifted American Supreme Court justice. I think, or honestly, at least I hope, that future generations will be able to look back on their behavior during Jackson's confirmation, just as we were able to look back on the racist barrel-scraping the senators of the 1960s.
The more things change, the more they remain the same. When the Supreme Court Justice nominee had to go through the last couple of days, shame on you. Shame on the American political system. When you attack a person for no reason, that's no reason. And then turn around and let a fool walk free. Who's our leader? See, this country is... I'm being serious here now. I'm being really serious. The next two elections are the most important elections of our lifetime. If we don't do the right thing, we're gonna go ahead and roll back. Now, we saw a wife of a Supreme Court justice, sending memos and emails to the administration requesting to turn over the elections. A wife of a Supreme Court justice. That justice needs to exclude himself from any of the decisions of June the 6th. Why? Because his wife is influencing his decisions. That's why. I'm getting tired of this. Because a Caucasian can do whatever he wants to get away with. Walk away unless he kills somebody. An African-American can walk across the street jaywalking and he gets arrested. I'm getting tired of it. And this woman needs to go away. She needs to go away because what she's doing, once again, undermine the democracy of our state. We got Michael in the house. What's up, Mike?
I'm good, brother, but you must have definitely been reading my mind as you were talking about the proceedings of this Supreme Court madness.
I cannot take too much more of this because what says me is the Democratic Party will not stand up and say, enough, you need to go back to your quarters all over again. Right?
Well, sadly, it's not ever going to be enough. See, this reminds you of the thing that Malcolm used to say. What do you call someone who is a doctor with 3 degrees, X number of accolades, et cetera, credentials up the wazoo, who's black? You call them a nigger. And that's exactly what they're calling Dr. Jackson, or excuse me, potential Supreme Court Justice Jackson. You know, they've gone out of their way to go to the lowest depths because they can't find anything. You know, when we couldn't, when Obama was elected or when he was being nominated, the joke was, you got to find something. Nobody's going to be that clean. So, of course, we had to figure that somebody wanted him in because whatever was going on, they protected him so that his shit was clean. So if there was any dirt that came out, it wasn't going to come out until after it was all done. But here's a woman who's got more credentials than half the court, and she's still a nigga. Ted Cruz treated her like a nigga. Holly, or whatever the fuck his name is from Missouri, he treated her like a nigga. And then to add insult to injury, the lone coon on the court takes his wife, and he's the worst kind of black guy because he picks a white wife like she's a trophy. Not like she's somebody he genuinely loves. You know, it's like he felt it was an upgrade. And that's the worst kind of brother. You know, these are the kinds of motherfuckers that'll sit at night and parade them around. Like, it's a kind of a offshoot of Davis saying his white wife. You know, it's like, yeah, look, this is my prize. This is my reward for doing what they want. Now, we didn't hear anybody talking about pubic hairs and the coke, like with Anita Hill, but this is even worse because it's nonstop. It was bad enough when they did it for one day. And as much as Cory Booker is kind of a Pollyanna kind of guy, he did an excellent job of trying to ease her pain because he noticed that she wasn't pain from what they were doing to her, and he backed her up as best he could. Alex Badia backed her up with some kind words. You know, the words of the white ones, you know, I take with a grain of salt because from the time I first voted for Shirley Chisholm for president, all these so-called white feminists came out the woodwork and they were talking about everybody but what was happening at the moment. We didn't hear any of these feminists speak up for Shirley Chisholm when I voted for her, but yet it was women's right this, blah, blah, blah. I am woman. I'm like, fuck this. Yeah, sorry, Ma, wherever you are. You know, it was all a bunch of crap. And this exercise, when Thomas said he was electronically lynched, this was an electronic lynching, what they did to her. They couldn't pick on her credentials. They couldn't say she was deviant in some manner, so they tried to tear her down. Consistently.
Michael, this attitude, or this permeation across the nation has reinfected us again.
Yeah.
What I mean is this. President Trump, and I hate to say his name about his show, but as we mentioned, President Trump opened the door for this guy to rise again.
Yes, he did.
We were on the right road. We were on a good path of reconstruction. What Donald Trump did was tear that reconstruction down to the bone.
Yeah.
Let me hear everyone talk about it here. In every political conversation, with a black candidate, there was a racial overtone. Racial overtone.
True.
Now, we had racism before in the 80s and the 90s, and that was the issue.
Yeah.
And the Warnock came down in Georgia. That was the biggest farce I ever seen, because Warnock had shot twice with grenades, as that young lady did.
You know,
there.
Gary, you know this is not about credentials. You know, it could have been it could have been any of the other black women, even the one from South Carolina, because Lindsey Graham was said, well, he's one of his homegirls, which is bullshit. But the long and short of it is the actions of Virginia Thomas, Clarence Thomas's wife, are about as seditious as could possibly be. That bitch should be in front of a firing squad, and Thomas Clarence should be in that firing squad with her. I'd like to take a shot at his ass my damn self, because you allowed somebody to lay a blueprint for sedition. We're not even talking January 6th now. This is worse than it, because this is somebody directing and saying, you must encourage this action. If there's A, then there's B. You know, from a syllogistic standpoint, this is sedition in its purest form. We want you to find a way to change the outcome of this. We don't care how. You know, we can make up any explanation we want for it. We just want this done. And that's what this is about. Unfortunately, the news will never tell you that. They give you little teases of this and teases of that. But they really don't want to tell anybody about this. They really don't want to say the full scope of all of this. It is just devious and evil as can possibly be. And I heard something.
It permeates all through sports. Dude. It goes through sports.
Yes.
Let me explain it a little bit.
Go ahead.
You have 68 teams in the NCAA finals.
Yes.
You have 3 black schools that come into the finals.
Right.
Those 3 schools, only one made it to the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last time I checked, when you win a game, you get money to go to the ground. That's right.
That's right.
So you have the SEC and the ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12
and all the conferences. Mm-hmm.
And when their team wins, they get $330,000. Whatever number it is, they get that money, right?
Right.
There we have North Carolina going into the fourth game and Duke playing in that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you add that up. Meanwhile, the MEAC, SWAC, CIAA, and SIAC get one team. What? And that one gives you, and that one team has to play the Dallas Green Giants every time. Stop it. I'm done.
Gary, how can you expect anything but a grunt from a pig? The NCAA knows exactly what they're doing in setting this up. This is a ghetto, literally a sports ghetto. And white supremacy, even in the games people play, must feel its influence throughout it societally. And that's what the NCAA tournament is. You know, at the Super Bowl, at least the professionals, they're getting paid, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't make it any better. But until recently, because these were amateurs, this was indentured servitude, waiting for a chance to rear its ugly head. And now it has. And the only thing that matters is that there's action for people to bet on. Nobody cares about anything else of ethics. All they care about is, Kentucky got upset, so that's my bracket's gone. you know, I'm out. You know, it's bullshit like that. What they really don't want you to say anything about is the fact that, you know, the athletes can get excited for the sake of the athletic competition and play, but like the kid said a couple of years ago, you know, yeah, we won the tournament, but we were hungry. What do you mean you were hungry? You were desirous to win? No, we were fucking hungry. Like, we didn't have anything to eat because we were starving, because you motherfuckers are making all this money and we're not making a dime off of this so that we could even get a fucking snack to enjoy after a game. That's the
last... Michael, I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last three days,
mm-hmm.
Bay Area has made over $3 million.
$3 million? Wow.
Just the last three days.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? It's because Duke is in the Bay Area right now. That's right. Why.
Mm-hmm. They sent them over there specifically for that.
Everybody's grandma's out here.
Okay? That's right. Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're right. When we talked about our Love Madness tournament and the groups in different parts of the country, it's the same effect as if the Delphonics had gone to the West Coast to be a number one seed. It definitely brought interest there because this is somebody who, you know, was famous back east coming out west. Now Duke is out west, and they're generating the same kind of, well, I won't say same kind of attention, but because they're ranked and because they are who they are, people want to know what the fuck is going on, how are they going to hold up, will they win, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why the butts in the seats and the eyeballs watching at home are playing into this. You said $3 million in the Bay Area alone. Can you imagine how much that is all in California?
Well, Michael, I have seen more blue jerseys than I ever seen in my life.
Really?
As you know, the University of California, Berkeley is blue, okay?
Yes. Right.
Stanford is red, so we have an equal number of blue and red. But the last couple of days, I heard it's like blue everywhere. I'm serious.
Wow. See,
I have never seen so many North Carolina, and Duke stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here 40 years. I've never seen anything like this.
I can't get excited about it because of the level of exploitation. Even when something wonderful happens, like St. Peter's defeating, school like that, you're like, okay, so what? Now, the only people that really would get excited about it are the gamblers, you know, the ones who took the long shot and said, yeah, you know, here you go, got a 15 beating a 2. Okay. So you won a little bit, you move on, you're thinking you got a shot to win because one of the major contenders is gone. But you're not thinking genuinely like it was great because, you know, David beat Goliath. You're saying it because, well, you just eliminated X number of people out of it and now I got a better chance to win. That's the
70% of the brackets were gone.
Wow. 70%.
When the Peacocks beat Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
70% wiped out.
Imagine how much that was at the casino. I'm not talking about the brackets now. I'm talking about just the game itself. Now, we know individual games, of course, won't generate as much money, but the fact that Team A beats Team B when it wasn't supposed to would definitely mean that somewhere the house made out like a bandit. And Mike,
they got a well already and dropped over 100 G's on Duke winning it all.
Really? Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, Reggie, because I think it was you who mentioned it. somebody else bet $300,000 that Duke would take it at 17-1 odds instead of making $5.1 million if they win.
Wait,
and,
go
you know,
ahead,
somebody, and I guarantee you, somebody will put money on St. Peter's in the beginning. And they said they're looking pretty. Even if they make the Elite Eight, they done got paid off.
You know they do. That's right.
Wait, guys, there's a headline.
I guarantee you, Carolina gonna beat St. Peter's. It's gonna be some calls. If they call the game tight, like they tried to do against Purdue, St. Peter's ain't gonna win it. You
mm-hmm.
see how the game officiated in the first 5 minutes, and
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, they're gonna try to get that big man in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't that St. Francis can't win. I mean, St. Peter's can't win. It's gonna be the referees. That's gonna be the problem.
Yeah. I agree with you there, Reggie, because tournament ball is referee ball, just like playoff
mm-hmm.
ball is referee ball. The officials control all of that. And the fact that they want to generate the scenario to come is very,
yeah.
very obvious that this is a distinct possibility. And
this is no fun. Look, I'm a guy. I was a kid. But the scene is happening.
Gary, welcome to the big boy league. And I got to say this, Gary, you talk about the HBCUs. St. Peter's has just put the HBCUs on notice. Ain't no more fucking excuses. I guarantee you look at their athletic budget versus Hampton, A&T, and Jackson State. I guarantee you look at their budget versus Hampton, Jackson
That's
State,
the key,
and the SWAC.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot compare. So the HBCUs have been put on notice. Get your act together or don't be bitching and crying about playing in the playing game anymore.
You know, thank you for saying
that
because... Gary, Reggie, thank you for saying that because that is essentially the truth as we know it. You know,
mm-hmm.
never mind wanting to see HBCU succeed. Of course we do. That's
yeah,
a given. What we don't want to hear is that, okay, we need this and we need that and that and blah, 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 and status quo. You know, the hell with that. You know what's going on. You know what's needed. You know,
mm-hmm.
somebody stick a foot in their ass and say, okay, wake up. Do whatever you got to do. But you know now your old way of doing business does not work. For whatever reason, you've got to change up and adapt and come up with a new way of accessing or generating a possible path for you to succeed financially and generate the kind of revenue that would sustain those schools. You know, we're not talking about getting rid of the schools. We're talking about sustaining. But don't give me all this other bullshit. Peter's in that one win against Kentucky made a check that will cover the budgets of most of the HBCUs in the conferences. Am I lying or what?
You know. And look, every time they play more and more games, their conference gets a bigger cut of that pie. So
mm-hmm.
think about it, gentlemen. From the first one against Kentucky to the other team that played Mammoth or whatever it was to now, they're getting four slices of that pie. And that conference,
right.
making out that one school is getting the conference fatter, fatter, and fatter.
Sure.
Yes.
You got to realize they don't care if a St. Peter's comes up with a win. They know it's something that's going to happen, but it's not something that's inevitable. It's not
mm-hmm.
going to happen every tournament. If we got to cut a check to a small school, we don't mind if George Mason gets a check. We don't mind
yep.
if St. Peter's gets a check or Virginia yep. Commonwealth gets a check every now and then because
yep.
we're not going to get it every year. You know,
thank you.
So, yeah, that's the price of doing business for them. That's what's the difference.
Yep.
See, the HBCUs,
and now we're going to see what the Columbia Athletic does, because Hampton's coming in the Columbia Athletic, A&T is coming in the Columbia Athletic, and it's supposed to be a third school that they're still waiting on, HBCU.
Oh, are they moving here? They moving again?
Yeah.
Well,
hey, but look, I'm in guess what? Next year, they all come into the CAA. And
well,
you got to know back in
the
day.
The Missouri Valley Conference, they need to go over to Missouri Valley. They're losing two teams and gaining
other
teams.
Well, I know, but I got to know that, Gary. Back in the day when Conference and Coach Fang coached, they got to think.
Yeah, I remember that.
Team.
A great
and
win.
They were terrified
mm-hmm.
of Coppin State. They were terrified
they
of
them. They punished them for it. They punished
yes,
them for it. Fang.
The Southern University.
Paid a price
Southern
for that.
Played against Kentucky.
Yes, indeed.
Rex Chapman played back then. And man,
yeah, I remember
because
that.
Southern Band wore that shit out, boy. And every time they went to halftime, they went right to Southern Band. They didn't even look for the regular one. They said, oh,
that's
go to Southern
right.
Band.
Yep.
Yep.
We got hey, Tony, Tony in the house. What's up, Tony?
Hey guys, what's
Return
up?
Return of the Mac.
What's up, T?
Don't nobody know nothing, T. Don't know nobody know nothing. What's going on?
Well, they say,
right.
Well, they know they if they didn't know they know now. That's
sure.
And T, here's the
hey,
thing.
Hey, T Mac. Hey, here's Kentucky and Calipari. Don't nobody know nothing. What are y'all doing? Don't nobody know nothing.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing about St. Pete. They have beaten three teams in three different ways. I mean, now Purdue had all the big trees. They beat them.
Thank you.
Kentucky was supposedly, Kentucky apparently had all these McDonald All-Americans, but apparently Hardee's must be bitter because they were able to knock them off. And Murray State is basically like them in a sense where they're coming from a small conference. So again, it's not far-fetched for them to beat Carolina tomorrow. Now, to his credit, even though we've given them a lot of grief this year, Hubert Davis has done a hell of a job coaching this team this year.
That team last night didn't even look like the team that was getting that ass whooped in the beginning. I ain't recognize
well, see, that's the
it.
Thing.
They were the team last
thing.
Week that played against Baylor.
You know,
I was like, where did this team come from?
They've evolved as the season has gone on. I think it took a lot of it had to do with the fact that they had to, adjust to Davis's style or what have you. And now they're peaking at the right time. The funny thing is you've got a women's equivalent as well with UConn. In the sense of started off slow, they're healthy, and now they're playing ball. I mean, I still think South Carolina wins it all, but with the lowered expectation and everything else, UConn's got a hell of a shot. But here's the thing: we talk about how. Let me see them win tonight. Let me see them win tonight first.
Is Notre Dame still in it?
No, Notre Dame got beat today by NC State. And see, NC State's another
Kentucky.
Kentucky got knocked out, I think, in the second round. I don't think they got past the first round. A lot of people thought that they would gain a lot of momentum after beating South Carolina, but didn't really sustain it. Unfortunately,
Coach Ann Gilbert's daughter played with them. She's on
the
team.
Yeah. Well, put this way, the thing about the women's side, and to be honest with both, I've watched, full disclosure, the last 2 years I had been watching more of the women's tournament than the men's tournament. But I have to admit, I've been watching the men and the women equally this year. Probably a little bit more the women, probably about 55-45 in a sense. But the thing is, you do get the feeling that they are trying to, set this up for Duke. But as much as I hate to admit it, they're playing well. Now, granted, they get every close, you know, whenever it's a close call, they're going to get it. And that's, and that's the thing. And that's the thing. That's the real pain. But for the most part, they have, you know, they have gone out and won. You know, especially, you know, the you know, Tom Izzo did his usual thing. The game on Sunday, they basically just took the game the other night. Now Arkansas matches up just on a pure matchup level. Arkansas is their equal, so
I think they're more athletic. I do too.
But and they have more experience, and they have a lot more, and have a lot more experience. But you know, they you know, here's hoping that St. Peter's can upset the apple cart a little bit, because, you know, what the NCAA has to realize is St. Peter's run is the epitome of what this tournament is supposed to be about. When they basically have tried to make it all about the Power Five teams, you know, it's not reflective in the ratings, and it's not reflective in the way the game is played. Because it's all about the, it's all about the upsets. It's always, and especially when you, especially good, bad, or indifferent, when you factor in the when you put in the gambling factor as well. Because nobody, no one's gonna have, you know, it's obvious no one has a no one's gonna have a perfect bracket this year. So,
and there'll be a lot less of them.
Well, but see, here's the thing, though. What a lot of people forget is people do a lot of Sweet 16 brackets as well. Now, I don't know if it's done on the same scale like you would see now with the, but I know plenty of folks that do Sweet 16 brackets and what have you.
Yeah.
Now, see, the funny thing is, St. Petersburg's messing up everybody's brackets, whether it's a 64 or a Sweet 16 one. But you know what? But see, again, that's what this tournament has always been about. You know, look, yes. Now, all they've done now is they basically have taken, like, say, the sixth or seventh team from the Power Five conferences instead of giving the little guys a shot. That's the sad part about it. All they did was just and basically the quote unquote play in games, that was in their eyes.
Compromise for the little schools
because look,
Here's the thing,
that game last night was played in Philly. Do you think that the NCAA was thinking, well, St. Peter's may make it, so we may have a thing in Philly? No, absolutely not. But see, here's the thing: whether they want to admit it or not, St. Pete put a bunch of money in their pocket last night and will do the same thing for Sunday's final.
Thank you.
Yeah, but T, how's that whistle going to be looking from here on out against St. Pete?
You know what? It's been a factor in all three games, and at least so far, they've been able to overcome it. Can they do it a fourth time? I don't know. Let's put it this way. If they were able to overcome it three times now, who's to say that they can't do it one more time? I don't think they're going to win the whole thing, but if nothing else, they're gonna, you know, if nothing else, again, like Red said, every HBCU conference needs to shut the entire hell up and do some extra work. Because, look, let's face it, there's only a handful of HBCU schools that get it. Whether you like Dr. Harvey or not, he gets it. He, yeah. You know, he's probably looking at St. Pete and saying, that should be us.
That's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. And those checks that they are collecting for moving up each round, should shut everyone the hell up. You know, St. Peter's made more money this last few weeks than everybody in each conference.
And they still got at least
another one
more payday.
One more payday. That's right. You know, if you can count, you understand the accent of what's going down. St. Peter's can count. This is a commuter school in New Jersey making all this money. And that's really what this is about. Patrick Farrar, I'm sure, would agree with me with this. This is his beat. So he knows what's going on. He knows there's always been a strong basketball pipeline with St. Peter's.
Yeah.
And many local area schools in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area.
Look, Holloway said it himself. I got a bunch of New York and New Jersey kids. You don't think they ain't scared of nothing here? Seriously,
I gotta ask the panel something that me and you talking about earlier, Gary. Now, was it me or did that Miss Bobby, like, oh, my God, I have an angry black man in front of me. Please, somebody help me. When he said, he looked at her right there and said, hey, what y'all got to say now? Did y'all see the expression on her face? She was scared, man.
You know what?
What did he say?
She basically asked. The question was, I don't, you know, it was basically a generic sort of, you know, what do you think? You know, what do you think in regards to this win? He says, what can they say now? And you hear the folks in the background. What can they say now? And then, like, as it was evolving, he wound up getting photobombed, basically by the team. But yeah, it wasn't anything. See, look, there was absolutely nothing malicious. But see, of course, in this day and age, look. Let's put it this way: they were gonna, you know, she wanted to try to grill her like they're trying to grill Miss Jackson. He basically just said, "Hey, there's nothing else to say. We're still playing. Look,
that's right."
Vanessa Williams said, "You know, has one of the greatest quotes of all time, and you know, the best. I want to make sure I say it correctly. The best revenge is success." You know, after her, you know, she was supposed to fall off the face of the earth, and if anything, it made Vanessa Williams a stronger and bigger star. The same thing here. Now, here's the funny thing: the minute St. Peter's run ends, whether it ends tomorrow or by the grace of God, it ends on April 4th. On Monday, April 4th. There's gonna be a bunch of schools that are gonna offer him £100 of money.
Seton Hall better crank it up.
but see, here's the thing: Seton Hall is probably looking at things there for the grace of God is up. Because remember, Seton Hall's in the tournament too.
Seton Hall used to be there. Seton Hall was a Final Four team a long time ago.
Seton Hall got to the championship game. So they're basically, look, every mid-major, when something like this happens, every mid-major literally sits down and says, we got to if you are looking to move up or what have you, then you're taking notes. You're saying, what did they do? What did they do differently other than actually, you know, win games or whatever? What did they actually do? Because you know.
Arizona game. Now you look at the coach of Houston. Damn near six of his players were injured by December, and they had to revamp the whole squad. And when I see the Arizona squad, they keep telling me this kid that wear number zero would be a first-round pick, a lottery pick. He didn't do shit. I mean, I don't know who's grading him, but I wouldn't want him on my team. I'd rather take the boys from St. Peter's than this clown. I mean, he's sitting on the sidelines. Are you saying now? That the New York Knicks and the East Coast representing style of play was whooping the West Coast ass. Is that what you're saying, Gary? Hey, T, you heard him, T. The East Coast
Over the years, probably more so college ball than the NBA, the West Coast teams have always been looked at as being more finesse, and the East Coast team more hard nose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Arizona is a perfect example. I had a friend of mine say, you know, Arizona is soft as toilet tissue.
Wow. They come out there winning it all. I can't believe all the experts.
Well, remember, a lot of those same experts also had Kentucky going far too. So you're always, especially with the college game, you take it with whatever, because the one thing to me that's always sort of happens in a Final Four with the four teams, you get one team that basically has been great all year, you get maybe one Cinderella.
Yeah.
You get a team that maybe should have done it the year before and winds up doing it this year for whatever reason. And then that fourth team just get hot for a couple of weeks.
Tony, let me take what you're saying a step further, because when we talked about that Connecticut team that won and they were complaining about being hungry because they had nothing to eat,
absolutely.
That is really what this is about. You know, you've got one team who has to live within the boundaries of the guidelines, where kids, the student athletes, don't get shit. You know, they have no recourse but to maybe their own parents or their own devices. And if anybody does anything even remotely out of whack, they get X for it. So now those things are more obvious, and people won't say it out loud anymore. So maybe now they'll make sure they eat. But the bottom line was the East Coast represents, or at least the East Coast style of play represents, those guys who, okay, they may be mentally tougher because you're not hungry, you're not eating. You know, you're going to go out and win this game. You know, maybe we'll have some cheese sandwiches for you afterwards or some stupid shit like that. But you got to knuckle down. You have to focus more.
Mm-hmm. And they were also smart enough to use that national forum to bring awareness to it.
Exactly.
Louisville broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
Now we all know that That game was not on TV. Once again, the NCAA was certain responsibility. And said,
They did trip their responsibility. The kid broke his leg. He transferred to Georgia State. They actually made the tournament the following year. But this was a workman's compensation situation. It's like, wait a minute. You know, the guy got hurt on national TV. If it hadn't happened, they wouldn't have fixed his leg. They wouldn't have not charged him for it. And it would have been a lot of ancillary stuff that would have came out that they would have tried to stick on their family.
Yeah, so they would definitely hit him up with the family going down to see him in the hospital. Mm-hmm. There would have been sanctions on that. Oh, and gentlemen, what's up with Mr. State?
Girlfriend wanted to go with him. What's wrong with y'all?
I don't know about his girlfriend going with him, but I do know that the fact remained that the situation was out there sticking like a sore thumb. And nobody spoke on it. None of the so-called sports journalists said, wait a minute, this ain't right. Y'all got to tighten this shit up. You know, nobody said boo, with the exception of maybe us and a couple other people. The long and short of it was they allowed an opportunity to leave where somebody could have been held accountable for it. You saw the proof. The kid broke his damn leg, and nobody... Yeah, here you go. This is Reggie. This is where don't nobody know nothing, huh?
Yeah.
Don't nobody know nothing.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do about it?
I never liked that pretty ass anyway.
Yeah.
But guys, what about Coach Penny and Memphis State? Isn't it interesting how these sanctions came down on him a week later?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, the funny thing was, you know, He's actually trying to help these kids, and of course there's a problem with it.
But Calipari has been hurt with the state.
Wait, the coach of SIU, I'll never forget this. You know who this is? Number 50 for the New York Knicks. He played for the Hawks. This guy was a senior. He had a job off campus. The coach said, okay, I'll give you my car so you can drive to your job and back. The NCAA got wind and they said, oh, no, you don't. And they suspended SIU for not one, not two, but 3 years for his like, what's wrong with y'all?
Well, Gary, that was more because it was SIU. If that had been a major school, not to say that yours wasn't, but if it had been a bigger school, there wouldn't have been 3 years. Somebody would have said something, and that whole thing would have been condensed big time. It maybe would have been knocked down to a couple of games, whatever the deal was. This was all my influence and a small school paying the price.
And Mike, the priest said, Rob Sass used to drive a white van around campus and he's at UVA. Ain't nobody said,
come on. That's right. They know what time it is.
North Carolina with Michael Jordan and James Worthy driving lease cars for Ford.
when they drafted Ralph Sampson and had the facility painted with Ralph's house on top of it so you could see it from above, come on. How blatant can you get?
Yep.
We knew what time it was. Ralph Sampson knew what time it was. Unfortunately, that balance has not redressed itself where student athletes get treated proper because they are essentially de facto employees and they deserve not just salaries, but whatever perks come with that and whatever benefits come with that.
Yeah, and see, the NCAA still refuses to look at them as partners. They look at them as indentured servants.
Exactly. You know, with all the cheering and shit going on, nobody's going to say that somebody's hungry, you know, like the Connecticut kids. Nobody's going to say, hey, what are we doing for them? What are they getting from this? Is there a percentage that we can break off for them? No. Now, they'll talk about this now, and they'll set it up so that by the time something may actually be in effect, 3 or 4 years have gone by. That's a whole class of graduates. Nobody gives a shit about that, you know? So the NCAA is dragging their feet on purpose, and the pimp cartel that's running it, they know right off the top what they can do and what they don't want to do. And what they really don't want to do is give these kids anything, because their whole system will be down to nothing. There'll be a whole lot of ones and duns, and
Michael, the NCAA can afford. When somebody tells me that they can't afford to pay these kids, I'm like, are you kidding me?
You're making $3.2 million
a day off of this NCAA tournament stuff.
What gets lost in the sauce is that you get the propaganda out there. Oh, then they're going to be, you know, asking for like $1 million. It goes, they're not asking for $1 million. All they're asking for, you know, the most they're asking for is a stipend. And you can't tell me that it's not a stipend. And then there's going to be the ones, well, what about the ones that don't generate as much money? Then they don't get shit. How's that? You don't eat. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I don't want to do this, I'm going to tell you, there's a racial overtone to this.
Oh, it's racial and sexual.
Look at the players from Gonzaga who are predominantly white. Okay, you look at the players from St. Petersburg, they're all black. So I know there's a racial overtone to this thing.
It's racial and sexual, Gary, because in a lot of instances with some of these schools, the particular women's programs generate more money than their male counterparts. And they definitely don't want, I mean, look, especially here, in a lot of instances, the UConn women draw as much, if not more so, than the men in generating income. Same thing with the ladies involved in Tennessee. And it's the same, you know, and see, it's reflective in how they've dealt with the ladies over the years. You know, this is the first year where they've actually been able to legally use the term March Madness during the women's tournament. You know, and again, they had to expose them like what happened with the UConn thing, where they showed you that they didn't get the proper facilities like the men with the weight rooms and everything like that. It's still, now, unfortunately, on the women's side, they still have to play those early round games in homes to a certain extent because they don't generate the income. But a lot of it has to do with the fact that the NCAA treats the women's tournament sort of like how the NBA used to treat the WNBA. They tolerate them. They don't try to do anything. They don't really try to help them. They just sort of, you know, put a lot of lip service to it and don't really. And so you have to realize that women's sports now, even, you know, you got to remember, what's this, 50 years for Title IX now. Are you really trying to tell me that women's sports haven't progressed in 50 years?
True. No shit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never get the event because they play in Stanford. And Palo Alto is a very difficult place to get to when you go to Stanford Airport. You got to drive an hour to get there.
Yeah, but see. If Palo Alto still makes more sense than trying to play in another California, because hey, gang, let me tell you, stores may not be in the middle of nowhere, but you can see it from there, because stores is not the greatest place in the world to get to. But again, they still have to. They're still trying to generate
you know, an equal amount of in, you know, an equal amount of income as opposed to the men. Because
well, that always bothered me because the OMD, Tennessee, Denver, and UConn have a great advantage over everybody else
Don't forget Texas. Don't forget Iowa State. Because see, again, those are places where they've had reason. And again, I agree. I don't think it's fair either. But unfortunately, they sort of have to do it if they're going to be able to generate the same a similar type of money to the men. Because look, that you got to remember that contract with TBS, TNT, that's all for the men.
Yeah,
that's all for the men. The women don't get any of that. Now, but again, and you know how difficult it's for me to say anything nice about the mouse, but for the most part, over the years, the way that they show the tournament now is light years compared to what they did before. And remember, they never ferreted games out to ABC before. They did a handful of games on ABC this year, and the women's game, the women are going to get their step. They're going to get a separate game. You know, they're going to give them a separate time on prime time.
So
they've had prime time games. They've had games on during the day. They've had They make it so that every game can be seen. And before, they didn't do that. They took the easy way out. They put UConn on. They put Texas on. They put Tennessee on. But now, to their credit, just from 5 years ago, they've made a hell of a lot of strides in pushing the women's tournament. Because, I'll be honest with you. We were talking about. We would love to see like Lifetime or Oprah's old network get that, because they would make it to because they would actually try to do something with it. But hey, I give the devil their due. They stepped it up. They definitely stepped it up.
In all honesty, they stepped it up because Oprah's network and other networks were probably thinking about that. So they had to do this. They have to make sure that there was a methodology in which they could generate revenue with this and make it seem like they were going forward, because they really didn't want anybody cutting into their situation. This is about ownership. They owned the tournament, they won the piece of the tournament, and they wanted to stay a certain way. And that's exactly what they got with the women's tournament.
And you know what? In the long run, The women's tournament wins, and to me that's the most important thing, because they get the coverage that they deserve. And if it means that an asshole can change his colors, I'm all for it. It's just like the whole thing with the HBCUs now. If what Deion and some of these other coaches are doing is going to give more credence for HBCU football, and most importantly, HBCU sports, I'm all for it.
I want to say something here about quickly about baseball and the foreign substance rule. What's wrong with that?
Well, you see how slowly but surely they're bringing back a lot of these things that they said that they weren't going to, now that the agreement's been agreed to? Because remember they had said they weren't going to add the extra runner for extra innings? They've added that.
Yep. Okay.
Now they hadn't really said anything about the substance. I get it. I mean, it's all window dressing as far as I'm concerned. I don't, look. If guys are cheating that bad, they're gonna find ways around it any damn way.
True.
That's because it's again, what was always
be about the whole steroid controversy, so to speak. Everybody gets their panties in a waist with the hitters. But what about the pitchers that are doing the same, that are using steroids?
Thank you.
And on the whole, if you look at the suspensions, whether it be the minor league or major league, the majority of the suspensions it was literally on a 3-to-1 basis, it was more pitchers than everyday players.
Hey, T, I got a question for you. Gaylord Perry, they caught spitball and fouling and everything else, and he's in the freaking Hall of Fame. We're talking about the ultimate cheater. Oh, my God.
We already know that there are guys in the Hall of Fame. Look, we already know that there are guys in the Hall of Fame that did steroids. And me personally, I don't have a problem with it. Because, see, my thing has always been, again, when you have a pitcher that's on steroids facing a batter that's on steroids, where is the, the competitive imbalance? But see, everybody talks about how there's a, you know, it skews up the system. But see, I don't see it.
I don't see it. And on top of that, you can hit 40 home runs if you were taking steroids, but you still can't hit a curveball, whether you were taking steroids or not.
You can't see it.
The thing is, you still have to hit the damn ball. The year that Bonds, it wasn't the year that Bonds hit the 72. It was the year afterwards when he won the batting title and everything else.
That's right.
He was on an average night, 4 at bats, everybody gets to see maybe 15 to 20 pitches a night. Bonds was basically getting half that and was still dominating. That's the whole thing that's always has obscured the whole thing about the steroids. Because have to hit the ball. You still have to have hand-eye coordination.
That's crazy because he get up the bat and those motherfuckers who do the analytics would start talking about the percentage of this and the percentage of that. You know, this is a guy that used to get walks when the bases were loaded. He was that bad. And then on top of all of that, the fact is reduced to maybe one pitch to hit, and then he crushes it. You know, steroids didn't do that. A curveball didn't do that. Hand-eye coordination
Let me say this. There hasn't been many balls going in becoming cold since Stephen Curry retired. I can have all runs in becoming cold.
Here's the thing that always used to make me laugh. Now, the whole thing about steroids was it was supposed to help you, you know, recover quicker. You know, it's supposed to make you stronger and all the other stuff.
Right.
Now, who is going to need that more? A guy playing every day or a fastball pitcher, past the age of 35 or past the age of still trying to throw 90, 100 miles an hour?
But,
Gentlemen, next question is, what's the Russian government going to do with Brittany Griner?
What's that again?
What is the Russian government?
They're going to use her as a political, you know, they're going to use her as, I mean, lack of a better word, she's going to be used as a political prisoner.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. They said May 19th.
I asked that question is yesterday was the first time an American official talked to her. And she's been in jail for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
They still haven't seen her.
Them?
Mm-hmm.
She lucky.
Hey.
He came back quick.
Yeah. Hey. All's fair in love and war. And to be honest, you know, Brittany did not help herself by going back and forth. If there was ever a year where you probably shouldn't have played overseas, especially in Russia, I mean, no disrespect. Once you saw what was going on over there, get your ass back home.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thing, Chief. The way that Russia look at homosexuality, I mean, you think you're selling
exactly.
America.
That's, you know what? To be the funny thing, you know, not funny, but the ironic thing to me is that I think that's more of a crime in their eyes than the weed, to be quite honest.
That's true.
Yeah,
They had that big row with that Russian punk band that called themselves Pussy Riot because they were gay.
Yeah.
And that started a whole bunch of shit. Brittany, and I will not take the foot off the gas with my sister. She was there 7 years playing there. She knew. This wasn't a case of I'm going over there for the first time and I'm not aware of the rules. She was playing with her celebrity, and she thought that was going to get her by. You know, you were fucking stupid doing what you did, and your stupidity is paying a price right now. As much as I don't want to see more harm come to Sister Gal, that was dumb. Knowing that you had cannabis oil on you, knowing that they said it was illegal, if you don't understand the laws of the place where you're working at, and I say that as somebody who's working abroad, then sad on your ass.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh,
well,
How many American basketball players are over there in the first place?
There's a couple of females.
I'm not sure. And the crazy thing is the majority of them are probably female. But see, here's the thing.
Yes.
I'm willing to bet you all of them are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or either left before it got this hot.
Yeah, well, they were leaving in January.
Yeah.
Right, but, Gal, you're the Candace Parker, right?
Yep.
Yes.
She played in the Russian league when she was playing. Mm-hmm. They did a segment about her playing in Russia, and she wasn't bringing no weed over either. You know,
That's the thing. See,
you got to know the rules of the land that you're playing in.
Yeah, I mean she can't see. Mike hits it on the head. There is no ignorance of the law. The woman has played there multiple years.
It's not like
this should be sneaking up on. It's not like this snuck up on her. She has to know. And if she is trying to use ignorance as whatever, then you're doubly dumb for not knowing where you work, and messing with your livelihood. With the weed thing, and remember, we haven't even mentioned the whole homosexuality thing because,
I
think, to be quite honest with you, I think that might be more of why they're making an example of her because clearly they're making an example of her. There is not to get too political. But the thing is, Putin is one of these guys that loves to stick it to the, you know, he's an old KGB guy in the sense where he still has that animosity toward America.
That's right.
So anything, mm-hmm. any way, and anyhow he can do to sort of sully up the waters, he's going to do that. And Brittany is literally wrong place, wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I say that all of a sudden. Oh, you're a commie lover. No, you got to know the lay of the land,
yeah.
And you got to
improve. Hey, look, if somebody call you a commie lover compared to 45 who kisses Putin's ass, talking about he's a genius. Now that ain't season talk. I don't know what it is. That's ain't the man, the enemy. But they can shut the fuck up.
Look. All this, all sadly, between this, between the whole Judge Jackson thing, it just shows you that straight or gay, they're it's still about pushing a negative agenda against black females. Plain
Thank
and simple.
You. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just black people, but black people.
Black people in general, yeah, but even more so with the females.
Oh yeah,
it's been in this current climate at least. Because see, here's the thing: what's so different? What's different from the scrutiny that Jackson is going under as opposed to the scrutiny that Brittany's going under? I don't see any difference.
Exactly.
It's the same mentality.
I agree, and that's exactly why this is as evil as it is. That sister had more credentials than a little bit, and everybody was waiting for their shot. You can't tell me those redneck bastards, whether it was Cruz or Holly or Jackson or Blackburn, that was that bitch's name, whoever the fuck it was, weren't waiting for the opportunity to jump in that ass and say something because they had the form in which to do it. Nobody could stop them.
Lindsey Graham
should be bitch-backed for the shit that he was doing, interrupting like he was constantly with that. And then
the
top, all of this, to have Clarence Thomas's fucking cow of a wife have the nerve to say to the other guy that we should have gotten away with this shit, that you should have followed along and Meadows was going along with this. Now, I don't want to go on the political tip, but the bottom line was, this is the essence of what sedition is. Bitch should have been tried and shot for the shit that she was doing. And Meadows, too, for going along with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean,
the
Republican
Party, the party had to, look, enough is enough. How far the Republican Party need to ask themselves,
they
how
won't.
How far is this party going to go? Because
they've already,
you had a leader that was goosey-goosey with Comrade Putin. Comrade Putin, and see, this is what America news people didn't tell you this.
Yep.
They're literally and figuratively sleep with the enemy just to get their point across.
Yeah,
and we've already seen where they're going. Yeah.
President Putin was taking his troops from the East Coast to the West Coast. Hello, and nobody said a word.
Mm-hmm. And this is racial. Don't think it's not, because from Obama, whether you liked him or not. When Obama sat down in front of Putin, he told that little motherfucker, don't you even fuck with us. I'm telling you, he did not like the idea of this black man saying to him, kiss my ass, we will fuck you up. And that's where a lot of this resentment is coming from, because that's where Trump shit came from. That's where a lot of these motherfuckers that were like, I want my country back and all that on the horse shit. They didn't like the fact that somebody black, you can question his blackness, but you can't question his skin color. And as soon as they saw that dynamic, they were losing their bunny rabbit blinking minds, all of them.
He was more loyal to the damn country than Trump could ever be.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I got to wrap it up. We got a media at 3:15. Thank you guys. Good show, lady. Good show.
Yeah, it was hot. It
not
was hot today.
Yes,
not a problem, John.
Okay, so Reggie, you there? How much you get miles on, Reggie?
I think he's on the trail back home. I think probably.
Okay, Tony. Get the miles on. What you got?
Again, you know, don't let's not mail in that win for UNC tomorrow quite yet. Even put it this way, even if they do win, I think Peter's is gonna they're gonna make them pee on themselves before they to get that win tomorrow. It's not gonna be. I don't think it's gonna be a walkover. I don't think it's gonna be a walkover.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Evil, what you got?
Well, you know what? I got a great show in there, for real.
I have to make this
observation. Now, y'all know I'm a big science fiction fan, and I've always loved The Twilight Zone, and I've always loved The Outer Limits. Now, I've been watching season one of The Outer Limits while I was dealing with this boo-boo. I fell yesterday. And I think I did have a concussion because I got little tweety birds flying around and shit, but I'm okay. But here's the kicker. There are at least four episodes of the Outer Limits first season where black actors and actresses were used. To my knowledge, I surely could be wrong, the original version of The Twilight Zone never had a black actor. Oh, wait a minute. No, I stand corrected.
I remember the episode too. Ivan Dixon.
That's the only one that I know of. So yeah, I stand corrected on that. But anyway, it is springtime, so funk in the spring, tra-la. We will continue with our groove and keep things going on Sunday night at 9 with another funk stream as we go funk from A to Z. Again,
right.
Everybody, have a great weekend. Much love and oh man. This is a wild one. I tell you, I'm looking forward to St. Peter's doing something nice, but I'm even looking more forward to the fact that these student-athletes will get something nicer, as in their bank accounts.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Well, next week, we're going to do what Matt Davido is doing. We're going to walk to New Orleans.
All right.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking the blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey, till you spent all my money. No use for you to cry, I see you by and by. I've got to keep on walking. New Orleans is my home. That's the reason why I'm gone. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans.
that ready here for a minute and say bye-bye, say bye-bye, good night.